I'm not, sound lady. I'm not sure where it's at. I'm not sure if it's in Last Words of Saints and Sinners by Shaw. That's a real old book, but it's still in print. If you just want to get it, it's good. And it's, that's what it's about. Last Words of Saints and Sinners. Well, to make a long story short, this old gentleman in town, much like this here, in this area, he'd been at every knock on every door. He talked to everybody in town about the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived for the Lord all through the years, and all through the years, and all through the years. Everybody knew it. It come his time to go. He knew it was going. So, on his deathbed, he sent out some folks, said, I want you to go to town. I want you to go into town and knock on every door in town and tell them that they would be welcome to our house to see a saved man die. And that is what they did. They went out, people crammed in that building. He glorified the Lord a few minutes and took his last breath and went out of here. Now, that's a good way to go, ain't it? Man. Now they keep you so drugged up in the hospital, you ain't got no last words. I told Mama, don't go. No, no, don't do that. All right, you got your Bibles tonight. Turn with us to the book of Matthew. And while you're going there to Matthew, now Matthew's an easy one to find because that's the first book in your New Testament. but as you're looking for Matthew, look at chapter 27. I'll read this verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, look out, water dogs, but to preach, but to preach the gospel. Do you realize that most every, cultist type church uses baptism to get you in? But they ain't going to get you in. You'll be got out. You're going to get in through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom words, lest the preaching of the cross should be, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, Paul was a preacher of the gospel. There's very few people understand what the gospel is because they don't read their Bible. Do you realize what the gospel is? I think you folks here know what the gospel is. It's already been said tonight in the song. It has. And that is that Jesus Christ died, and he was buried, and he rose again. Now, you can find that in the 15th chapter on the first six verses of the book of 1 Corinthians. And so tonight we'll give something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you go with it to the book of Matthew in chapter 27. here a while back I was reading through Matthew, and usually try to continue reading through the, especially through the New Testament, and then it takes me a long time to get through the old, but I was reading here in the book of Matthew chapter 27, and look up, we start reading about verse 26. In verse 26 it begins this way. Then released he Barabbas McFadden unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered them to be crucified. I heard a fellow not long back, I was preaching and made the comment, Barabbas McFadden, and that's our last name. And he asked me after church, said, where'd you get that? I said, because that Barabbas is a perfect picture of Kenneth McFadden. Now you look at Barabbas, he was released on the cross, actually, where that Barabbas would have been crucified is where Jesus was crucified. That's just the way it is. All right, but anyway, and so that's the reason I said that. All right, verse 27. Then the soldiers. Now, we want to take account now of the soldiers. I want to say this. This the other day, the first time I ever saw this, and I've been reading this since I was 15 years old. And I know that it ain't nothing new under the sun. I understand that, but it is to me. And you may have seen it a thousand times, and that's good. That's fine, but let's just rehash it then. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Now, if you look there already, we have references to the soldiers three times in two verses. Do you realize what I'm fixing to read? There are 21 references to the soldiers. I'd never seen it before. Never had. All right, let's read it. And it's not a very long reading either. All right, now here's what it goes. Now, verse 29. And when they, who's it talking about there in the they? The soldiers. All right, they're the ones that were doing the execution. They were carrying out the capital punishment. Punishment for you and for me, but really for nothing, because Jesus was the sinless, perfect Son of God. And he was dying in our place. But when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put on him, upon his head. They put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." Now, to get the rest of the 21, you have to go over, and there's a time lapse in here. You got some hours taking place from verse 37 all the way over to what I'm fixing to read right now. And notice in your Bible what's taking place. Look at verse 54. And when the centurion, now there's the man back up, and you find out in your Bible that centurion, he's the one that is like the captain over them. He's the one that has the authority over these soldiers. You understand? All right. Now notice, and when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake of those things that were done, they, now they are again, feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Now then, we got a picture here of the soldiers. I have to admit, I've never in my life ever saw anything like it. That there is 21 references to the soldiers here, at least that many. And that's just, and I just went down through their market. So you got 21 or so reference to the soldiers. That is very important. Now, we want to get something out of this. I hope it will be of help to you. Now, let me ask you this. What did them soldiers hear? What did they hear? Now, the first thing out of his mouth, when they nailed him to that cross, I believe. Now, there's, and I realize I'll jump back and forth, but regardless, one of the first things that they heard out of the mouth of Jesus Christ when he was nailed to that cross is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have heard from the Lord? You are forgiven. I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm not talking about, you know, shaking at the top of the tree. I'm not talking about a 600-foot Jesus. I'm talking about a peace down in your heart that you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. And, my dear friend, that is something here that these soldiers heard. I promise you, if they had 1,000 executions, they'd never been one like this. Never, never, never. Here he is, my dear friend, hanging there on that cross, suspended between earth and heaven for you and for me, and hear him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There is nothing on earth as good as being forgiven. Nothing on earth. Somebody asked me sometimes, how am I doing? I say, I'm saved, safe, and secure, and kept by the power of God. That's one big mouthful, but that's what I tell them. And I tell them there's nothing. We're preaching on the street, and somebody rolled a window down. Sometimes they roll a window down. It's hot weather. They really want to hear if they roll it down now. And I tell them there's nothing like a good conscience before God Almighty. I don't try to stir them up out there. I just give them a few thoughts. And quoting John 3:16, 17, 18, 19, on through down through there, and the blood verses over in Colossians 1 and 2, and so on and so forth. My dear friend, there is nothing like a good conscience. And the only way you're going to get it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, Jesus opened his mouth and asked forgiveness for, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a picture of a forgiving God that we have. All right. Okay. Ah, boy, that's good water too. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, they saw here, They saw a perfect, sinless man being crucified. Now, there's something about soldiers, and we'll get to a little bit of this after a while. I learned while I was in there about soldiers, and we may give you a little bit of that. And if you've heard the word forgiven, well, then that's wonderful. But now, these soldiers heard not only that from the mouth of Jesus, they'd heard a lot of other things from the mouth of Jesus. There's something like seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. We have a whole mess on that, but that ain't what we're dealing with here tonight. But they heard, my dear friend, that religious crowd. You said, what? The religious crowd. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ absolutely hated religion. Now, if you don't believe that, take me up on this and read the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. Read it. You say, well, I don't believe Jesus said that. Read Matthew 23. He called them everything imaginable. And I mean, he laid it on them. Hypocrites. Have you ever just read through the New Testament? At the time, he would face men and call them hypocrites to their face. I was reading something. He walked back. You talk about stupid people writing books. This fellow in his book said that Jesus never used any kind of a derogatory remark or anything abrasive toward anybody. I said, where in the world? What's he been reading? Jesus Christ, my dear friend, he puts a finger on their nose. You go over to the Old Testament, you know what God told Israel to do? He said, go up to Gilgal and transgress. You see what he's saying? Go on up there and sin, and see if I care. My dad used to tell us boys that. We get to begging for it. And we did, anyway, it was questionable with Dad, and he knew we were going to get hurt. And we just keep on and keep on, and Dad say, okay, son, you boys just go ahead and do it and see if I can. That put a thought in our mind. We're going to get our necks broke. And Dad warned us, and so we kind of, I remember one time on this subject, right down below Grandpa's house, like these hills around here, that's kind of where it was when we were born and raised. And we just swing on grapevines. Now, boy, I hope Mom and Dad will be careful with you. But anyway, on one of these bluffs, we and Jimmy and my brother Danny found we was about your boy's age. We found a grapevine, and we cut that thing, and you could swing. We must have been 15 foot off the ground. And you know the rocks and everything down like it is around here. And so on. And I remember one day, Papa come down the road in his wagon. That's the truth. He had a wagon. He didn't have no truck. And he come down the road in his wagon. He looked at us. He didn't say nothing. But the next day when we went up there, we didn't have no grapevines swing on. Just as far up as my grandpa could reach with the axe, he had chopped that thing off. And there it was. He knew, my dear friend, what was good for us. And if I hope and pray to God, you'll know what's good for you. If you're not born again tonight, you need to get born again. You say, well, I'm a church member. That's good. And you'd be nice to live by. You say, well, I try to keep the commandments. I'd really enjoy you being my neighbor that way. I'm thank God we got good neighbors where we live. And so on. But my dear friend, being a good neighbor leads you to heaven. You got to be born again. Now, they heard the religious bunch, and I got sidetracked. They heard him say this. The religious bunch said, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. Uh-oh. Do you realize that went into the ear of them soldiers? He saved others? What do they mean? What do they mean? What do they mean being saved? You said, you really believe that stuff? Oh, ain't no doubt in my mind. All right. Now, another one said, if he be the king of Israel, if he's really the king, why look right over there. Look right, why they've got it written right over his head. The king of the Jews and all that, right? But old Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. If you want to know the truth, Pilate knew deep down in his heart that was really the Son of God. But my dear friend, that was far as it went. His job was more important. Your job better not be more important than the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for sure. All right, so they heard that. The Bible in another place over there, it says, well, he trusted in God. Let him save him now. Remember when he called Eli, Eli, Lama Masinophanai? And they said, well, he called us for Eli, so he called us for, and so on. He said, I am. And they took him. Well, that always got him in trouble. they accused him, you know, of saying that he was the Son of God. And he did. He was. And he is the Son of God. What do you have to say about it? Now, this is the religious crowd right here. They're slapping this in his face. But you're going to get... Now, listen carefully. The reason I started, them soldiers are hearing every single word. Everybody got that. Now, you want to get it. Because they are going to come to a conclusion. Now, not only they are hearing it, but the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 53 that he was numbered with the transgressors. Is that right? All right, there he is, hanging on the cross. Now, not only are the soldiers listening, but those men, one on the right and one on the left, are hearing everything being said. Right? They've got to make a decision, too. Now, friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're going to make a decision. You're going to decide one way or the other. You say, that preacher's crazy. I may be, but I'm telling the truth. As long as it's in this book, it's true. And so on. Now, so we've got this. Now, a lot of others have concluded. I wrote some down here. 1 Peter 2:22. Peter said he did no sin. 1 John 3 and 5 said he had no sin. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, Paul said he had knew no sin. 1 Peter again, chapter 1, 19, said, without blemish and without spot. There's that lamb. There's the lamb. There's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. There he is. There he is. Oh, Pilate. Pilate said over and over, if you read the account, he said, I find in him no fault at all. He was a judge. You ever sat in a jury? I've never been on a jury. I've been sitting in the court while they're doing all that. And watch the judge. You watch the judge's eyes. Now, a judge is real. I've sat in a court before, been in another one, whatever. I've sat in a court and watched that judge, and I saw when he made the decision. Halfway through, he'd already made the decision because of something come out of somebody's mouth. He made the decision. And he was right, too. And so Pilate, my dear friend, he said, I find no fault in him. Even Mrs. Pilate. Mrs. Pilate says, have nothing to do with this just man. Oh, I pray to God there ain't no women in here tonight saying that to their husband. Have nothing to do with this just man. Boy, there have been a many a man put out of the saddle. There have been a many a woman, my dear friend, heartbreaking at home because of a sorry rascal of a husband. Amen. I'm right. I'm right. I know I'm right, man. I've seen it happen. Judas said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Is that right? Every Bible besides the King James Bible kicks the thee out. He said, I betrayed thee. That's one specific. The innocent blood. He could have said, like that other bunch of versions, they say, he betrayed innocent blood. That's, but when it says the innocent blood, there ain't the one innocent blood, that's God's blood, talked about in the book of Acts. Amen, amen, amen. You say, you believe that stuff, don't you? I do. The centurion. Now we get to the centurions. And this is kind of short tonight and to the point, but listen. We get to the centurion. Now what are they going to have to say? Now, being in their position, let me explain something a little bit. They are the ones carrying out the execution. I'll say that again. Everybody got that, right? They are carrying out the execution. Sentence is passed. That's their duty. They're carrying it out. Now, if you look in your Bible just a little bit, and I've already read this one time, but I'm going to read it again. Look at verse 54 of the 27th chapter of Matthew. Now, when the centurion, now he's the one in command. Everybody got this? Now, he says this out loud. This is not on a note. This is done publicly. Everything else in this chapter is public, 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 okay? Now, there's been quite an interval in here before this man says this. Do you know what it is? I can tell you what it is. That one thief on the cross gets saved. You say, how do you know that? By reading the Bible. That's how. That's where you make a conclusion, right? All right, let's jump over there just a minute. Let's go over to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23. Now, look here just a minute. All right? All right, now look at your Bible, and let's go to verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now, if you wanted to go back to Matthew, listen carefully, 27:44, you will find both of these men were blaspheming and mocking. But one is changed. Now watch it. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, now here's the other one. Now I want you to get this. Now listen carefully. The soldiers, the centurion, are hearing every bit of what's going on. You take your time in your Bible and read and put the hours, the minutes, you're going to find that I'm telling you the truth. All right. Now watch. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. Hey, we're getting what we deserve. That's a heart of repentance. I'm sunk. I've had it. I'm getting what I deserve. Dear God, I'm a sinner. Now watch it. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, publicly he's saying this, had done nothing amiss. Now watch what he is. This man on the cross, both of them hearing the same thing, what I've read to you and a few more other things. They've heard every bit of that. And I'll tell you something else that's popped in my mind. You know what else that they heard? This is a Mother's Day message. Is this Mother's Day? How many mothers? You mamas, let me tell you this. You know what he said? Here's Mary's mother. You know what he did? He said, woman, he never anywhere in the King James Bible ever called his mother, mother. There's a reason for that, and you can find it in the Old Testament. We'll not get into that. You said, huh? Yeah, you got that religion, that mother of God stuff, right? You said, Jesus didn't know anything about it. But anyway. And so he said, woman, behold thy son. And then he said, son, he's talking to John, the beloved. And he says, behold thy mother. Even in his death, in his dying hours, he's, I ain't know the words I can put it, reverencing his mother and fulfilling the verse over there about honoring thy father and thy mother. Hallelujah. Now, them soldiers saw that. Them soldiers heard that. Those thieves did too. And then winding back in their minds, mama, look where I'm at, mom. Hanging on a cross, dying. Mom, you prayed for me. There used to be old songs that say, tell mother I'll be there in answer to your prayer. Just tell my loving mother I'll be there. They used to say to them rescue missions, them old sinners, them old drunkards, they'd begin to cry. A lot of them get saved because they're thinking about their mother. Now, you say, you're just reading too much in. I don't think I am at all. I really don't. And my dear young man, and so here he is, listening and thinking, and they see all of this, and he puts his mother into the hands of John the Beloved, who leaned on the very breast of Jesus. What a Savior, man. All right, so they saw that, and they heard that. Now then, where are we? All right, here we are. Now here's the man back upon the cross. All right, verse 42 of Luke chapter 23. And he said unto Jesus, uh-oh, look at that word, Sam. What did he say? What did he say? Lord. Lord. He said, really? I've preached on these things like this before, and folks have come to me and said, well, the word Lord was used in, you know, and yeah, it was. But if you look carefully in the Authorized King James Bible, that word Lord is capitalized. Jesus, Lord. That's what he said. That's just what he said. All right. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy what? What? Kingdom. Where did he get that? They'd already yelled the scripture, if thou be the king. Yeah. And seen that inscription, that lad believed it. He believed it. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Glory to God. Now, if you look on, notice down here, you're going to see what I was talking about a while ago before I got sidetracked. Now watch. And when Jesus, now watch in your Bible, I'll go back to 44. Now Jesus already told him today he'd be in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That's 6 hours, is 12 o'clock high noon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when Jesus died. So you all got that by looking in your Bible. It's pretty simple. All right. Now watch. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion, I told you, they'd seen every bit of this. They'd heard every bit of it. They saw that man cry out to God, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. They heard Jesus say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's what they heard. Now the decision is made. Now here's two different things that comes out of their mouth. What's in verse 46? Or verse 47. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Do you know what he just did? Lord, at that time, he put his head on the chop block. He said, we've executed a man that was totally innocent. What he just did, he threw right in the face of Pilate. He went right in the face of all the religious crowds. And my dear friend, if you're going to stand for Jesus, I see it on the horizon. You're going to have some guts, like the centurion. You're going to have to stand for Jesus. The religious crowd's going to be against you. If you haven't read, just read the first chapter of Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. And see how all them preachers come in, you know, and going along with communism and all that socialistic varmints and all that mess. And how one man stood up, Richard Wurmbrand. Amen. It cost him, what, 13 years in prison and many of those times in solitary confinement. It may be you and it may be me. Next. It's fast approaching. All right, so he said, truly this was a righteous man. But he added something to that also when you get over there in the book of Matthew and you hear what the centurion also said. He said this, now when the centurion saw... When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared it greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. They said he was a righteous man, and they said he was the Son of God. They went against every man and woman that was there besides John and the few Marys. They went against all religion. They went against the laws of the land. They went with everything by confessing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, a righteous man. What a picture of these men here. No wonder he said they. And then sitting down, they watch him there. That's some of the things they see. What have you seen? I hope and pray to God that you've seen him. Not only just a righteous man, but the sinless, perfect Son of God. And that you confess, like the centurion, truly this was, is the Son of God. Now, I'm being personal. I believe we're going to see we'll see the centurion and many of these fellows in heaven. I want to see him. I said, you. I want to come to attention and salute you for taking a stand like that when the whole world's against you. That's what it's going to take, Mom and Daddy. And the hour's come, boys, sitting up here on the front row. It's going to take it. It's going to take it. Have some guts. It's going to take a lot of intestinal fortitude. You say, what's that mean? Guts. It's going to take it for you to stand. And the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And I'm going to close over here with this. Go over there and read that in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Watch it. What a book we got here. Put on the whole armor of God, says in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know why there's so much killing going on today? What was it last weekend? 14 murders in Chicago. They've been like 300 or 400 so far this year. I seen the numbers here a while back. Why is that going on? Because you've got the devil on the loose, and the Bible said he was a murderer from the beginning. That's what the book said. So, my dear friend, the more Satan gets a grip on this thing, the more killing and murdering, shooting kids on the street, man. That's where we're going. That's where we're going, Mama, Daddy. I mean, keep a tight grip on them littles. Amen. All right. I see him out on the street downstairs. I see him out with the home family. Ain't nobody around. I said, man, a lot of these women and men, and how are they completely nuts? It comes on my phone every once in a while. It'll be an alert that somebody somewhere has been abducted, and they put out of whatever color that alert is. And they'll tell about the kind of car it is. I got that on my phone. Man, alive. Well, anyway, let's get back. I'm reading. I'm going to close. I'm going to shut up. Hang on to me, man. Hang on. Put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's cunning, boy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Did you ever study in your Bible about principalities? You know what a principality is. Did you ever hear of municipals? Did you ever hear of that? Did you ever read Daniel about that devil over there? That devil that stood over that Persia? Son, there are plenty of them in Washington. There are plenty of them. And I guarantee you, it's like Brother Andy was talking about a while ago. One of them boogers under one of them come to pay a little visit a while ago. But my dear friend, he put him out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I'll preach another message. I'm going to shut up. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. I wrote down what that principality somewhere down in here. Principality, it means supreme power, a prince, one who is invested with power, the territory of a prince. Anybody ever had a sky view of Washington? I'm talking about, you know, D.C. You ever seen it? Some of you have. You can get it. I'll tell you where you can get it. It's in a book called How Satan Turned America Against God by William Grady. He's got the pictures of it in there. It's unbelievable. You won't believe it. You see it. The bliss, all that stuff, all the devilish stuff that's laid out, how that thing's all laid out, it looks spooky, I guarantee you. You say, you want to be president? Are you crazy? I'd build me a cabin down here somewhere. I don't want to be up in there. I think being a pastor, called preach, preacher's wife, I think that's the highest calling on God's earth, period. I believe it. Now, it's lonely. You ain't very much light. That's okay. Just hang in there, brothers. I'm going to close here. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, that's the King James Bible, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See it? Take the helmet of salvation. You better have that knowing. The rest of it ain't going to do you no good. And the sword of the Spirit, that's the Word of God, which is the Word of God. Praying. Now, the brother's been instructing that along here. I understand. I know that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Spirit watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. Amen. Well, I hope you got something out of this that'll encourage you on. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me hum you a song. Maybe you're not saved. I'm not no singer. Don't claim to be, that's for sure. An old song, bygone years. You're not saved, but just jump up out of your seat. Run to Jesus. You say, it'll do it? The Bible says. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what he said. Doubts come up. Did you run to Jesus when you were a sinner? Till he come to save. Come to save sinners. That's what it says. So if you'll come to Jesus, he'll save you. Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, lost sinner, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom for to be your pillow? Hide me over on the rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, worldly pleasures with their treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, lost sinner, you be crying for that home you'll never see. But the ransom will be singing, rock of ages, clap for me. Oh, lost sinner, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom, like old God, to be your pillow? Hide me over on the rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me. Hang in there, brothers and sisters. It ain't going to be long. I'm glad the Lord's got us in His. Man, I'm in Him and He's in me. Isn't that good? That's a good deal right there. I like good deals. That's a good deal. I'm in Him and He's in me. So where do you get this stuff? Well, try reading Ephesians. That's good. I tell you about it. What a Savior that we have. Well, we'll pray. Father, thank you very much for your word. God, that we might grow in your grace. Lord, all the things in the book, there's so many things, Lord, it's amazing. Lord, it all points to you, Lord Jesus, who died.